Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
And I'm Matthew Brobbins. Today we have our buddy here, Ernesto, as a special guest. How about you come say hi?
Hi. Thank you guys for having me. My name is Ernesto, but people call me Moon Pie or Authentic Moon Pie on my Twitch. I'm thinking of streaming around 3 days a week at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. If you're interested, please look me up.
All right, awesome. Thanks for being here, man. And I want to go straight into Zendikar Rising. What are your thoughts so far, John?
Oh, man. So I've been playing a little bit on Arena, and I don't know when it came out on Arena. It feels like it's been a week. I'm doing good. I got up to Platinum 3, and that's where Diamond 3. I got to Diamond 3 using Mono Blue, a spinoff what I was using before Rotation came out, because before Rotation came out, you can see it on the YouTube videos I put out. I was doing like Proliferate and stuff with the Flux Chamber. Anyway. I'm doing pretty good with one right now where I'm just ramping up to Ugin using Spinning Wheels, Mythical,
Sweet.
The Midnight Clock. I'm using that for ramp. Anyway, I like it. The only things I'm coming across are Crabs, Rogues, of course the Omnath. I'm coming across that too. Twitch streamer, the other guy, Joe Woost, just got Mythic yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I was watching him stream, and I got a bunch of us together that are, you know, content creators and streamers. And I said, come on, guys, let's go over and show Joe some love and go watch him. And, man, he felt the energy. And he goes, I don't know what's going on tonight, guys. I guess Cryptic Commander's a lucky charm because he brought over the gang with him and he got Mythic. He's like, I wasn't even thinking about streaming. And I'm like, your fans need to see you, Joe. Your fans need to see you. They're telling me they want to see you play, you know. I want to see you play, you know. So, but I watched him get Mythic yesterday. I've been enjoying what I've been seeing, though. Nice. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I don't really watch a lot of streamers, or I haven't done any streaming myself. But I do play on Arena quite a bit. I went from Bronze to Diamond in 3 days flat, because I hadn't played in about 2 months. And mind you, this is without spending any money. I just put together an RDW deck, and I was using my old cycling deck for beginner players. RDW is just red deck wins. It's just whatever is the best, you know, mono red deck crap just slapped together in that moment, basically. It's been very fun to play. And, you know, Paper, it came out just yesterday. And after this podcast episode, I'll actually be uploading our first box opening of Zendikar Rising. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Nice. On YouTube, and, you mean? On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. Yeah, nice. We're going to have, you know, we haven't done a box opening in quite a while. Definitely needed to do it. So excited to finally have another one up.
I'm excited to hear that. And what do you think about the rotation with Zendikar Rising, Ernesto?
Honestly, I'm not a fan. A lot of people are saying that, like, oh, it's so fun, like Standard's fun, but I'm not a Standard player. I'm a Brawl player, and on the Brawl side, it is not looking good. It honestly has not been fun, because all you come across is Omnath and the other Gruul commander that in 2 turns, you are going to have at least 4 tokens, 4 or 5 tokens. In 2 turns when he gets sits down, and it's just unfair. Just feels unfair.
The one that doubles your mana from non-land permanents.
That's the one.
I played
it's
against that.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it's pretty and gross. So now in Brawl, the meta is to, no matter what you're running, you have to tune your deck to beat them, because that's like 9 times out of 10 you're gonna come across them in a matchmaking. And you need to, like, if you're going mono red, you need to run like one red and red cap melee. You need to run like red cap melee. You need to run just the cheap 4 damage spells just to be ready for him, you know, for Omnath or the other Gruul commander I was speaking about, that gives you 4 or 5 tokens in 2 turns.
Yeah. Yeah. And just want to go back to Paper really quick. Like I said, you know, officially released yesterday. And I wanted to talk about, you know, the values of cards right now and how it's going to be looking a little bit. You know, there's going to be a bunch of stuff opening right now, this next week, 2 weeks, and the prices of stuff, of, you know, the stuff that's going to be more expensive in the future, like the $2 and $3 cards now, they're going to plummet, you know, even lower in these next couple of weeks. Omnath, I'm sure, will go up in the next few days.
He's four, he's $14 right now, I think.
He's 17 right now. It just
Oh,
checked
he already
about half
went
an
up,
hour
and
ago.
that video just, I was watching a video from one of my favorite YouTubers that I'm subscribed to, and that he just released that vid 2 days ago, and that was $14. So in 2 days, it's already gone up like by $3. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. And that just shows you how volatile standard pricing can be. So my recommendation is to hold on to as many cards as you can while still being, you know, financially stable, especially with the pathways, right? People are like, oh, there's so many pathways in a box. Well, the two boxes I did, I got one box had four, the other box had three. Now that's out of the 36 packs in a standard box, right? That's not a lot. So the values of those pathways, especially because I feel like I very much undervalued them in the last podcast episode, you know, being able to play with them in Arena lately, I definitely undervalued them. They're fantastic cards to play with. Those are going to be going up in the future for sure.
You know, personally, I have not opened any Zendikar Rising packs in real life. Just in Arena, I've played sealed a draft in Arena, but in real life, I haven't opened any packs, or didn't even go to the pre-release at my LGS. The only packs I've opened so far in the past like month, I've opened three mysteries and one double masters, and got absolutely nothing, even though that was like what, $50 right there. I got like $10 worth of bulk from all that. So that was very disappointing. But other than that, no, I haven't really dabbled in Zendikar Rising in real life, personally.
Moving on to page two, then. It's this the Zendikar Rising has a lot of cards that are actually going back into other formats. If you remember when Fatal Push got printed, how immediately it went back even into vintage. Do you remember that, Matt?
Oh yeah, of course. No, Fatal Push is a fantastic card.
Right. So there's some cards in Zendikar Rising that are shaking up other formats. For instance, Skyclave Apparition. It's shaken up Legacy. So you got a deck called Death and Taxes. You know.
Oh no, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, well, Death and Taxes
Death and
has been around
Taxes.
for a very long time.
You got a deck called Death and Taxes in Modern that's being used in. You've got another deck in Modern called Azorius Spirits it's being used in. A deck in Pioneer called Bant Spirits that's being used in. Another deck in Modern called Abzan Collected Company is being used in. So that card is shaking up other formats beyond standard. Blood Chief's Thirst. Here's a card for you. That one's shaking up Pioneer and Mono Black Aggro. It's Modern Jund, Modern Dimir Mill. Another one,
Well,
Spore.
personally, a Zendikar card that I have been attached to in Brawl and EDH personally, is Feed the Swarm. It's one generic, one black, and you can destroy any permanent, destroy target creature or enchantment an opponent controls. You lose life equal to that permanent's converted mana cost, and it is a common.
What
so.
formats is it shaking up?
For me, it's Brawl and EDH, but that's just me personally. Maybe it's not shaking up the entire format, but for me, I've been running into that card a lot,
Well, another
and
black
it's
card is.
absolutely just.
Well, another black card I've mentioned then would be Scourge of the Skyclaves, which, by the way, is shaking up Modern and Death Shadow. So, you know, Death Shadow, like it needed more ammo, right, Matt?
Yeah, no. The shadow
no.
was already great, and
Yeah.
then being able to have Scourge is
I want to look at this card real quick. When you cast this spell, if it was kicked, each player loses half their life rounded up. Wow, it's a star. Wow.
Lithoform Engine has to be shaken up EDH. Like, you cannot tell me it is not. You pay two to copy an ability, a triggered ability. Like, that's ridiculous, especially in EDH.
Well,
yeah,
that's something I'm going to look into. Goblin Charbelcher, if I'm saying it right, shaking up modern, shaking up modern legacy. So modern, of course, by its own name, and then legacy Spy Oracle, and then in modern Amulet Titan. Now they call these new lands pathway lands. I thought they were called modeler.
What?
They're calling them pathway lands.
Yeah, the dual lands.
Yeah,
so
they were modeler.
There's
yeah.
The other ones that you're thinking of have a spell on one side and the land on the other. Okay. Which are the bolt lands.
Okay.
So there's bolt lands. There's pathways, and then there's the mobile lands, I believe is what you're thinking of.
Okay, so there's three different ones, okay.
I believe they're called mobile lands. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. The mobile lands are the ones where it's spell on one side and the land on the other, the land enters the battlefield tapped. The bolt lands are, you know, lightning bolt, basically. You take three life, and it can enter untapped, has a spell on the other side. And then there's the pathways, which is land on one side, land on the other side, enters untapped.
Okay, interesting, because I've only opened a few packs myself. Okay. I'm curious to open more then. Well, those pathway lands are shaking up Pioneer in the Selesnya Auras deck. And not to mention in Pioneer with Gruul Aggro. Omnath, Locus of Creation. We knew we were going to get to that one eventually, right? Shaking up Pioneer.
Yeah, of course.
Four color Omnath and Pioneer. And modern four color Uro. And but we're just getting started. This set just came out. We're already coming up with a ban and restriction announcement on Monday. I saw something today. In the last 10 years, and this might be overplayed by now. I could be wrong, guys. But I saw somewhere today, in the last 10 years, from a certain year to another certain year, the only two cards ever shake, you know, got ban and restriction announcement was Jace the Mind Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic. In the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now if you go over in the last 3 years... Since 2017 till now, there's got to be 25 cards that have been banned.
Yep. So it's like you said, we talked about it a few podcast episodes ago. Mm-hmm. This year has quite literally broken the record mm-hmm. for the number of bans already, and so they're already saying there's going to be more bans. And so for me, this just says, what is next year going to look like when it comes to bans?
There's a website.
Yeah, that's definitely intimidating.
MSN.com has an article. From DOT Esports, Magic the Gathering rotation fails to fix standard format. A balanced meta and standard remains a pipe dream in Magic the Gathering, with cards like four-colored Omnath and Uro Titan of Nature's Wrath in the format. The recent release of Zendikar Rising and the fall rotation were supposed to revive standard in Magic, but have broken it instead. Wizards of the Coast have already announced that the ban-restricted team is monitoring the format, and an update may occur early next week. Four-colored Omnath is by far the best deck in Standard at the moment, using new mana-fixing cards like Lotus Cobra. With the problematic legendary mana ramper Uro Titan of the Nature's Wrath, the Omnath Locus of Creation build trumps what Fire of Invention once achieved in the format prior to getting banned in June. Players are going wild with Genesis Ultimatum and the Terror of the Peaks, in conjunction with Uro and four-colored Omnath, leaving opponents in the dust. Now, I watched... My boy Joe Woost did a take on this deck, and that's what got him to Mythic. And I see what they're talking about. I do see what they're talking about. Fires of Invention, look what it was doing. And just a second ago, Ernesto, you were kind of alluding there yourself. With cards like this that are getting banned all the time, you know, Wilderness Reclamation. Wasn't Wilderness Reclamation one of the ones that got banned? Am I right?
Yeah, that was the last ban.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the cards that give you free abilities, like the Fires of Invention. You know, card abilities like that. And a lot of this is mm-hmm. what we're banning, is the ones that are giving you free stuff. And not that we're going to be repeating ourselves too much here, but why so many bans?
Power?
Power creep? It's power creep?
Power creep?
What I've said, yes. What I keep saying is, and this is like a big lesson I actually gave, when it comes to these bans, I think the main reason now, especially in 2020, is WTC is really looking for money, right? Mm-hmm. And the best way to get money is to please the players. And players, as the years progress, and this is something that's going to continue to happen, is people always want to find the easiest way out, no matter what it is, whether it comes to Magic or anything else, right? And when we got this in Magic, is people, unlike the older days of Magic, where you had to, you know, in order to solve a problem when it came to a deck, you had to find a way around that problem, find a way around that one card that was giving you an issue. And that, you know, it's one of the reasons the sideboard exists.
Right. The metagame. Yeah.
Exactly. It's to be able to find ways around it. People don't want to do that anymore. They just want the easy way out. And so they complain and complain, and Wizards gives in. And this is just my opinion, and you know, nobody hit on me for this, but this is what I'm seeing based on I've been playing since I was 9 back in 2009, and now today I'm looking and I'm like, it's just going to continue to get worse and worse as more bans go forward, and the power creep is going to get worse, and so there's just going to continually be cascade of exponential bans.
It's funny that you said cascade. Right.
I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. As a retired Pokemon player, it's really interesting to see the differences between MTG and Pokemon, because in Pokemon, that was literally every metagame. Every time a set came out, you would just see people making these really imaginative answers that you've never seen before. Like, ooh, this is super new. Like, this is really interesting. And people would kind of steal that idea. I remember when Team Up came out, I think I was watching another one of my subscribed YouTubers, and they just had this really interesting answer that I started practicing with on a practice website. And you know, I went to my LGS that year, and you know, everybody was super surprised by this really interesting answer for a specific meta, and how you could not only just answer to it, but you can, what am I trying to say here? How fluid it is. You know, it's not just like, oh, this is a specific answer for these specific cards. If I'm not going up against these specific cards, I lose. You know, it wasn't like that. The deck was super consistent. Even if you weren't going up against that specific card, the tech would just work. It was just such a good feeling. You know, in Magic, I'm not seeing any of that. Like people, like Matthew was saying, it's people are complaining and the ban list is getting bigger and bigger. It's just so surreal just seeing the differences.
I'll tell you too, another thing is a thing called kitchen table Magic. There's casual Magic, then there's the competitive Magic. There's going to be some people that listen to this podcast that are just kitchen table players on the casual side of things. And going back to where I was not even competitive, I had a lot of fun back in those days. Because if somebody came across me with a goblin deck that killed me turn 3, I was not upset with them. If anything, it made me more better of a player. It wanted me to get more involved in the game and seek out powerful cards, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that motivation. You know, I feel like that's another reason why like card games aren't doing as well as they used to, you know, especially with the newer generation. They just want to stay home, play Fortnite. And if you try to introduce them, like I've had trouble just introducing my friends to card games, no matter if it's Magic and other like games that we're not supposed to speak of. It's just, they don't get the, oh, I lost. This motivates me to go get stronger cards, that good feeling in your chest. No, they just get upset and they think, oh, this game is stupid. I'm not going to play it. I'm going to go back to Warzone. You know, that's just what I've noticed.
Let's go. Let's move on to the page 4, Movers and Shakers. And this is a segment where we'd like to talk about some cards that have went up in price and cards that have went down in price. The Locust God, this week at $3.99, is right now at a record low and trending down slowly. Academy Ruins, which is a land, a legendary land, at $8, a record low and trending down still. Right now, a card that's bottom out at $3.62, Lightning Greaves. We got some cards that have went up. We'll start off with Diamond Valley. It's at $847.49, which has gone up 183%. Rashada Scalebane at $4.72, up 205%. And the reason why this card's going up is a little bit of market manipulation because of the reserve list buyouts going on. Krovax the Cursed, $4.57, also up 241%, again with some market manipulation going on there. Let's go with the top three this week, though. Archfiend of Despair, $20.82, up 31%. Number two at Flagstones of Tracare, $14.99, up 163%. And then the number one card this week, it's standard legal. It just got printed. Scoot Swarm, $6.48, up 369.57%.
Bro, I have like 20 Scoot Swarms.
I don't know, man. Now it's your turn. Now it's your time to decide. Sell it or take the gamble and see if it goes higher or lower.
Oh, it's going to get lower, bro. No way it goes much higher. I mean, it might go up to like $9, but
I'm looking
it's going to drop to like a dollar.
I'm looking at the trend. If you're asking my opinion, I say sell now, right now. You should have sold them yesterday. That's what I'm telling you.
You should have sold them yesterday.
You should have sold them yesterday. Yeah. They're going down. Matt's right. They're going down right now. Even though they are up 369.57%, I do see a downward trend, and this is something undeniable. This is something very highly undeniable.
As a budget player, I don't really have much to say in this topic of like prices. I don't pay much attention to that. Not because it's not interesting to me, but because I'm a budget player. If a card's more than like 30, 40 cents, it's not for me. And if it is, it needs to be the best performing card in my entire deck. Swiftfoot Boots, or that's like, I love just cheap alternatives to staples like Swiftfoot Boots to Lightning Greaves. So I can't say much on price wise with Shakers and Movers and Shakers.
Yeah, Movers and Shakers. That's okay. We can move on to page five. Matt, you've got card of the week. What do we got this week?
So we've got Cavern of Souls. It is probably my second favorite land. My first favorite land is Tabernacle, but that's another day. Cavern of Souls is when it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. You can tap it to add a colorless, or you can add one mana of any color, and you spend the mana only to cast a creature spell of the creature type that you chose, and that spell cannot be countered. Great against blue decks.
Yeah, I can see how that's definitely annoying. Oh, by the way, I hope I'm not like, ruining your guys' flow, but what was really on my mind for the past like week or two, it has been taboo cards. That's just a topic that I really loved asking, people at my local OGS or like on Discord, because personally, or just cards that you hate or personally hate seeing on the board, or you just wish would get banned or restricted. Because I personally am too tired of seeing Thassa Deepdwelling on the other side of the board in Brawl. I can just already imagine the Agent of Treachery combo where if I don't have an answer, you're just going to keep on like, here you go. Let me take that back. And Agent of Treachery again, this is mine. Agent of Treachery again, this is mine. Agent of Treachery again, this is mine. So that's just something I really was hoping we could talk about.
Yeah, I love that card, by the way.
Deep Dwelling.
You really shouldn't. Well, when I was doing Gyruda, so even some of the fans here might even know what I'm talking about. I did the Splinter Twin. Oh, not the Splinter Twin. What's it called? Spark Double. I was doing Spark Double, Thassa's Deep Dwelling, right? Thassa's Deep Dwelling, Gyruda. There was another one to copy it, too. So basically, as soon as I put out that Gyruda, which was ramped, too, by the way, because I don't just get there on turn six. I get there on turn four. When I put Geiruda out there, you get the Thassa's Deep Dwelling, the Spark Double, the other one I can't remember, and then Geiruda himself. It was over. The game was over.
Yeah, personally for me, when I see Thassa's Deep Dwelling on the other side of the table, I just concede. Honestly, it's just not fun.
So for the ones out there that don't know this card, it is a legendary enchantment creature god. Thassa Deep Dwelling costs 3 other and 1 blue. It's indestructible. As long as your devotion to blue is less than 5, Thassa isn't a creature. At the beginning of your end step, exile up to 1 other target creature you control. Then return that card to the battlefield under your control. It's got another ability, 3, 1 blue, tap another target creature. I love this card.
I hate it.
Well, it's better than Spinning Wheel. Spinning Wheel, you got to tap.
What, not really.
5.
Not really. No, at least I can destroy Spinning Wheel. I can't destroy this.
Well, Ugin would take care of it. Ugin will take care of it.
Ugin. Yeah. Yeah. That one answer in my deck, that's like 8 drop, and you're probably going to mill me. Right. So my only answer is going to be in the graveyard.
Your only answer's already got crab problems.
Yep. Oh, no.
You have crabs drawn?
No, the Ugin's going to have crab problems. Like, it got milled because of crab. Eh, okay.
Yeah, good old crabs.
But no,
speaking
yeah.
Speaking of crabs, how do you guys feel about Charix?
Charix.
Oh, the Raging Isle. I pulled it today when I was opening Zendikar packs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've seen this before, but looking at it in person is even scarier.
I have only, like, I've only seen it on the board once. They put it down, and at the time I was running a Kroxa deck. If you don't know what that is, Kroxa is basically a you know, disruption deck, you know, because Kroxa, Titan of the Death's Hunger, it's a 1 black and 1 red. It's a legendary creature, Elder Giant. And when Kroxa enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless it escaped. Whenever Kroxa enters the battlefield or attacks, each opponent discards a card. Then each opponent who didn't discard a non-land card that way loses life. And then it has an escape cost, which is 2 black and 2 red. Exile 5 of the cards from your graveyard. And it's a 6/6. So, you know, it really synergizes with, you know, Aristocrat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a disruption deck. I like the way I run it, it's a mix of Aristocrat and disruption. And, you know, just I like to throw in like those surprise big creatures like what was that one card? It's a 5 drop. It costs 3. It's 1 generic, 2 black, but it's a 5/5, and you have to discard a card. Mardu Outrider. Yeah, I love running that in. It just surprises people, like, oh, oofies, you know? So at that point, you know, they put the Kroxa down, or not the Kroxa, excuse me. They put the Charix down, and I'm just looking at that, and I was like, oh, I've seen this card so many times. I'm not going to deal with it. And I just instantly destroyed it. You know, they were very sad.
So I want to go over and talk about the best deck in each format right now as it stands. And this ought to be interesting. Apparently the best deck in Standard right now is 4-color Omnath. I guess no surprise there. Number one deck in Modern is Red White Burn. Now this looks interesting. Red White Burn, huh? Okay, yeah, that makes sense. 4 Goblin Guide, 4 Monastery Swift Spear. 4 Eldion of the Great Revel, 2 Skullwrack, 4 Burrow's Charm, 4 Lightning Bolt, 4 Lightning Helix, 4 Searing Blaze, 2 Skewer of the Critics, 4 Lava Spike, 4 Rift Bolt. And these lands look absurd if you can only imagine the lands. Okay. Huh. Yeah. Let's switch over to Legacy. The main deck in Legacy right now is Miracles. And I did see an article somewhere about where's Miracles today. Wasn't like Sensei's Divining Top banned or something like that? So Miracles, that'd be interesting. I'm going to have to look that up later myself. Maybe I'll just go ahead and just go through a little footnote here, because I'd be interested in hearing about it. 1 Plague Engineer, 3 Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath. Of course, why not? 4 Ice Fang Coats, 4 Akram's Astrolade, 2 Forest of Negation already, wow, 3 Abrupt Decay, 4 Brainstorm, 4 Force of Will, why not, 4 Swords to Plowshares, 1 Dead of Winter, 4 Ponder, 2 Sylvian Library, 1 Jace the Mind Sculptor, because hey, why not, 3 Oko Thief of Crowns, because we didn't get banned there yet.
Yeah.
Let's move on over. Let's move on over.
Oh, and by the way, Arkham's Astrolabe was banned in Modern.
Well, yeah, but that was Legacy, though. Moving on to Pauper, the best deck in Pauper is Red White Boros Flashback. Apparently, right now, the best deck in Commander is, I don't know how to pronounce this, Tymna the Weaver.
Tymna the Weaver.
Mm-hmm. Right now is the best deck in Commander. I don't know how these stats are thrown together. Please don't shoot the messenger.
I think it goes based on what's the most played, not necessarily what's the best.
Okay, what's most played right now in the meta? And then Pioneer.
That would be Tymna. Yeah.
Red deck wins, mono red.
Let's go, RDW.
Red deck wins.
Because why not, you know? It's a thing.
Because I'm a filthy net decker, that's why.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You dirty dog. All right. And then let's move on to page 8. This is going to be a quick one. Commander Legends now has an official re-release date of November the 20th. So it was supposed to come out a little bit earlier. I think we reported on that earlier, Matt, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But now we have an official release date, re-release, November the 20th. I'm looking forward to that product, Commander Legends. Of course, they're going to come out with Commander decks, pre-made pre-con for that product. If you guys didn't know, they have the Commander decks for the Zendikar Rising, only $19.99.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up that because the ones before Ikoria, like 4 months ago, they're $40. And then these, you can buy them for $19.99. So I was just talking about somebody on that topic. So I'm really wondering what their price is going to be for these precons for Commander Legends.
It's interesting too, because if you go back to ones in the past, you have some that are right there on the ballpark. None of them are what you paid originally, like on launch date. If you bought one for $40, there's no way it's still worth $40. It's worth more than $40. But what really shakes me to the core is starting day one with the Zendikar Rising Commander pre-made decks that don't even have an oversized card, which in my opinion is a good thing.
Yeah, they're really obnoxious.
They have a value right out the get-go of $120 right from the get-go. You could turn around and just make a profit. You're talking a $20 deck. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's going to be a lot of reprints, and it's going to change the manipulation of the market, and there's going to be a lot of variables there. These newer versions aren't going to be worth the ones that are worth more money. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But right out of the get-go, that deck's worth $120, and they're asking $20. 2 cards equal the price of this deck that are in that deck, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's like, whoa, Watsy, are you actually not being greedy?
No, crazy. They don't have an MRSP, remember? Manufacturer suggested retail price.
MSRP?
Yeah, an MSRP. They don't have an MSRP.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Well, what we've seen with the previous Commander decks is that their general value has been between $60 and $80 after paying $40, which in my opinion is still worth it because you're getting an extra 20, you know, to 40 bucks of value for.
Yeah, the code word's the value. Something. That's the keyword, excuse me.
Exactly.
The keyword's value.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think the reason people are selling them, because there's some shops selling them for, you know, $19, $20, $21, and then there's other places selling them for $40, is there was no direction. Wizards, I think this was kind of a test that Wizards was throwing out for the shops to see what would happen. You know, they're like, here's a crap ton of value. You could price it whatever you believe, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the distributors give a value that they think it should be sold at after they sell it to you. But not all the time, but some of the time, if you have a good distributor, they will. And then the shops in charge is setting the price. And a lot of these shops, because I've noticed this in my area too, I have a shop down the street, they jacked up their price, like they doubled the price of them. They went from 20 to 40 right off the bat. And my question is because of not having MSRP, and did Wizards also lower the price of sending it to, or raise the price, sending it to the distributor? And so the distributor jacked up the price for some of these shops too. That's my question, is Wizards still being greedy, but you know, in a more covert kind of way?
Is WotC still being a bad boy or no, or not? That's the real question.
Everyone's
are they planning something?
Everyone's going to have their opinion on that one.
And oh, WotC.
Before I forget, Zendikar Rising Still Sealed is going on. It's September the 17th, which as of this recording is September the 26th, until October the 2nd. So the Zendikar Rise Sealed event is still going on. Standard Metagame Challenge started today and goes on through September 29th. Friday night at Magic at Home this week is going to be singleton format. That's something I will be looking forward to on October the 2nd.
Yep.
Zendikar Rising Quick Draft starting October the 2nd until October the 16th. And last but not least, Zendikar Rising Constructed starting October 3rd through October the 6th. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, we've got a sponsor for the podcast, which is the Lotus Lookout. And I did not go last week. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go this week, but I know for a fact I'm going next week because we got to start making some YouTube videos from the store and whatnot. But I go into the local game store, the Lotus Lookout, and I still had that sense of try and stay, you know, 6 feet away from somebody. And I want to buy those single cards. I'm glad I got out of the house and went to the local game store that they're open. I can buy cards for my cube. I can buy cards for my EDH deck, for my modern deck, for my standard deck. I played some games with some people. That part was great. It got my itch. It fed my itch.
Satisfied. Yeah, for a little bit, itch. Right?
It satisfied my itch.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Personally, I just went to my local card shop 2 times in a row this week. I definitely felt a little more satisfied. There's definitely a lot more tension because my game shops are very small. So sometimes you just can't get that 6 feet. So you're like more like 3 feet to 2 feet, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of like looking at each other and, you know, sometimes it can get uncomfortable.
I have not been to a local game store since before March. Since the beginning of this, just right away, one of my professors told me that if she saw me on campus, she would fail me in the class.
Oh, there you go. You better stay home
then. So I was like, that's motivation to stay at home. And so I was like, told my professors, I was like, you know what, because of my disability and me being more likely to, you know, I'm just going to stay home. And so then like a few days after I said that, then an announcement came out saying, professors, listen to your students. And then a week after that, everybody was sent home because we had cases in our college. My college was one of the first college too, in California. So that was scary. Am I going to get it? But
no, it's safe for me too.
I really do miss going to the LGS, but my LGSs are nice enough where if I buy a box or anything from them, they're willing to drop it off at my front door because I live like less than a mile from two LGSs. And so I could walk to my LGS if I really wanted to, but you know, definitely not doing that right now. Especially with everything going on in California, but you know, I really do miss it. And I hope that once everything starts getting back to normal, I'm able to go to LGSs again, able to support them, especially with the podcast. I know one of my LGSs, they've been following me in my Magic career, I guess if you want to call that, for quite a few years now. So they'd be excited to hear what I'm doing.
Nice. Also, Matt, you want to let the listeners know about thecrypticcommander.com. We finally launched it.
Yes, I launched
thecrypticcommander.com.
It took me forever, but I did it. And just today, actually, I just embedded our first YouTube video onto the website, which is our revised opening.
Not only do we have...
No.
Wow, we've got a YouTube videos on there too. I'm going over there right now and looking here at thecrypticcommander.com. Wow.
Yeah. So if you scroll to the bottom, it's going to look a little weird right now. I'm going to have four videos on there, so it looks a little bit better. But you can watch videos on the web directly from the website.
Whoa.
And just a little bit of a secret sneak peek. Don't tell anybody else.
Look at this, man. Look, what I did, though, I went to the website, thecrypticcommander.com, and it looked really cool because I saw that we can buy sweatshirts, T-shirts, deck boxes, playmats, gift cards. And then I waited a second, and then all of a sudden at the bottom there, it dropped down the YouTube video. So it didn't do anything right away to show me. But that was cool because it waited a second, and then it dropped down the YouTube video. That is cool.
Yes. No, I worked my butt
off. Impressive web designing. Nice, bro.
I'm an impressive human being. What can I say?
I can definitely say, as somebody who dabbles in, who is going for a computer information technology certificate, it is definitely not that easy to create a website with an intricate design like this.
Yeah, I mean, using something like Shopify is a lot easier. But I mean, in order to put like a good video in there, you do have to do some web development. But that's not the point. The point is the website itself. I really love it. We have our new logo design done by, I believe her name was Kiana Clark, right,
yes.
John?
Yeah, Kiana Clark.
Yeah,
we're gonna go.
That is a great name
on the artwork too.
Yeah, Kiana.
I just have to say that is a great. What was her name again?
Kiana Clark. Yeah,
that just rolls off the tongue. So is a high quality name.
Yeah, she did the playmat that I showed in one of the videos with the lotus, the black lotus on there, and the white lotuses. That's for the Lotus Lookout for the local game store that sponsors the podcast. I also reached out to her and said, "Hey, would you please do the artwork for the Cryptic Commander?" And we commissioned her for that, and she said she would be honored to. And I'm really, really amazed with the work that she did for us too. We're proudly supporting it on thecrypticcommander.com, the Cryptic Commander podcast, the YouTube show. It's everywhere. The artwork's everywhere. I love it. It's on our merchandise too, Matt. I love it.
Yeah, and pretty soon. We're also still working a bit on prototyping of the Cryptic Commander deck boxes themselves. Our first deck box is going to be called The Hero, which is an awesome name. And
The Hero?
Yes. It's going to be The Hero 1 because it's going to be our first deck box. But it's pretty awesome so far. You can join Hatefree Magic the Gathering, the Cryptic Commander Facebook group, to see the design that we have so far. And we're going to be pricing it at about $12.99 plus a few bucks shipping, which I think is great pricing for 3D printed deck box, by the way. Most stuff like that is, you know, 30 to 40 bucks. And so we really wanted to appeal to, you know, the Magic community in general and be able to say, hey, we can get you something for cheaper. So, you know, we understand what it's like to, you know, not have the money and, you know, wanting to have those higher quality things. And so if you're a fan of this podcast, if you're a fan of the YouTube channel, go on, get yourself a shirt, sweater, get a gift card for somebody else who loves the channel, and put your email on there so that once we have more merchandise up, like the dice bags from Artopia, you can get that email and it's going to have that merch on the email saying, hey, we got this stuff now, come buy it, right? And pretty soon, once we get like the majority of the rest of our stuff on there, I'm going to be putting out a discount code for people who want to come and buy as, you know, more of like a re-grand opening sort of thing. Oh, also on the website, I'm going to be embedding Discord. So if you want to talk to us personally, all you have to do is go to thecrypticcommander.com. And this is going to take a couple days, but you'll be able to go on there. I'm going to have Discord directly on there. So you can go on our website and talk to us directly from our website, which I think is the coolest thing.
Oh yeah. I'm excited about this too, because I go on this thing called Discord and I go on there and I can talk to people. I don't have to type. I don't have to text. I can just sit there, play Magic the Gathering Arena, and talk to my fans and meet new people. I like the Discord. And that's where I met Ernesto, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's where we hit it off.
Yeah.
Good times.
And
even though it was only like a week ago.
Ernesto, you're one of the admins in the Cryptic Commander official Discord. And
yes, sir.
And that's what Matt's talking about. We're going to have that link on our website at thecrypticcommander.com. To where our fans can just click on it at thecrypticcommander.com and you can talk to us without typing. It's great. You can hear our voice. We can hear your voice. Ask us questions. We'll answer them right then and there. We're all going to be there. Well, that's going to do it for today's podcast, guys. I want to thank you again for the podcast. Ernesto,
thank you. Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, man. You know, it's been a blast having you. We really value your opinions on Magic the Gathering. And everybody, you guys know how to get a hold of us. We're so glad to include the CryptoCommander.com into the loop now. And we want to make it a full circle and have everything connect back over to the CryptoCommander.com. So we're really excited about this new development. And we'll see you over there. Until next time, keep spell slinging.